Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, we remember this evening those moments where Jesus used his feet in his ministry, the many miles that he traveled, but also those moments that he was honored by those near him. Dear friends, Lazarus indeed had just been raised from the dead. What a moment. The town was in a bustle. What a miracle just took place. Everyone was talking about it, and it foreshadowed Jesus' own resurrection that would happen in just over a week, not far up the road. To commemorate this wonderful moment, this wonderful event in town, the women thought they would throw a dinner, of course. Food, best way to celebrate. So they put on a great big dinner, invited many people, and many were having a wonderful time. They were celebrating life for the family, joy for the family, resurrection of all things. In the midst of that celebration, something interesting took place. It was Mary that took a vial of ointment and went over to Jesus, kneeled by his feet, took off his sandals, and began to anoint those holy feet with that oil. And it wasn't just any oil, it wasn't just any ointment, it was extremely expensive. It was from some foreign place, some foreign plant, and it cost a bundle. And Mary used it on the feet of Jesus, an anointing. But then it happened. A fellow by the name of Judas objected, of all things. We shouldn't be doing that. We can sell that expensive stuff and we can use it for the poor, he said, with genuine concern in his heart. But really it wasn't. Jesus knew. There was no genuine concern in his heart for the poor, for he loved money. Mr. Moneybags. That's all he was after, was the money. But what an objection. The objection was this. Don't waste it on Jesus. Don't waste it on Jesus. It kind of reveals his true heart. It really reveals that true heart, what he thought of Jesus. And we can certainly go to ourselves, oh, that Judas fellow. But there are moments in our lives, too, where we kind of say the same thing. Sitting in our sinful flesh, don't waste it on Jesus. The offering plate comes by, or a new building project shows up, or something else needs to be done around the church. Don't waste it on Jesus, we kind of say in our hearts, kind of like Judas. The beautiful thing this evening was Mary. Though she didn't mind at all wasting it on Jesus. She didn't mind at all. For you see, Jesus had just given her the greatest of all gifts. He gave her and the family their brother back. He was alive. Resurrection joy lived within her heart. Resurrection joy bubbled in her heart. It was filled with thanksgiving. It was a heart filled with gratitude and filled with joy. It was a heart that was singing the praises of her Lord. And so in her heart she said, why, there's no better place to use this expensive stuff than to anoint my Lord, than to honor my Jesus, to thank him and to praise him for his grace. It was a beautiful moment. And to drive the point home, she undid her hair and she stooped low and she gently caressed that oil on his feet. Caressing that oil off. For Mary had received divine service. And now she was responding with the joy of her heart. Caressing the feet of Jesus. Well, what she didn't fully realize that she was doing, though, was that something much deeper was now taking place. And Jesus mentioned it. Leave her alone, Judas. For she's doing a wonderful thing for me. She's anointing me for my burial. Wait, what? I can just see the disciples being shocked once again. What? And yes, Jesus had a way of bringing that truth about. A burial was going to happen. In just 1 week, it was going to be his own. And he saw this as an anointing for that moment. For yes, the feet that were being so gently and so wonderfully caressed with oil and with beautiful hair was going to be caressed once again. Those feet were going to be caressed in a different way. Those feet were going to be caressed with the chains of Roman soldiers. In 1 week time, those feet were going to be caressed with the shackles of Roman soldiers. And yes, in 1 week's time, those feet were going to be caressed with brutal spikes that they would drive right through them. Yet through that brutal caressing of his feet, Jesus would win for us all the salvation of our souls, our bodies and souls. He would bring life to the world. Indeed, how beautiful are the feet of Jesus. Isaiah spoke of it. How beautiful are the feet on the mountain of those that preach the good news, that proclaim the good news. And yes, it speaks of anyone who brings that good news of salvation to a world in darkness. Most of all, it speaks of Jesus and his beautiful feet. And we think of him in his ministry this evening, the many miles that he traveled on those feet, walking highways and byways in order to preach the kingdom of God, walking through towns and walking through villages and walking through cities, walking through Judea and Samaria and Galilee, walking here and walking there, dusty sandals, worn out sandals, dusty feet. We think of those beautiful feet. That took the gospel into so many places and brought joy and life and hope and faith wherever they went. Indeed, dear friends, Jesus does the same for us. He brings us hope and strength so that our feet may keep moving as well, moving for him. Are your feet moving this evening? Are they moving forward? Reminds me of a story of a man named Mark Ingalls. Don't know if you've heard of him. Who was Mark? He was a search and rescue mountaineer who one day was searching and rescuing over in New Zealand when all of a sudden a huge blizzard hit up on a high mountain. A dangerous blizzard. The temperatures fell. The wind chill fell. And the snow piled up. And it wasn't long before he and his colleague were in grave danger. For they realized they weren't going to get down off the mountains. And so they hunkered down for a long, hard blizzard. Well, it was harsher than most. The snow was deep. And it forced them to eventually make snow caves to sleep in. One day went by, and then another, and then another, and then another, until 13 days had gone by in a snow cave. Mark looked down. His legs were frozen. His feet were frozen. No longer worked. But finally the rescue came. A little too late to save his feet, though, they were lost. All at once, no feet, no legs. Defeated. But friends, he didn't give up. He did not give up. He had those legs and those feet replaced with carbon fiber limbs. Carbon fiber feet, of all things. And he vowed that one day he was going to climb the hardest mountain in the world in artificial limbs, Mount Everest. And indeed he did. A few years later, with artificial limbs and artificial feet, he scaled Mount Everest and became the inspiration of many all around who had lost limbs, many all around who had lost in life, the inspiration to keep their feet moving forward. Indeed, Jesus did the same. He scaled the hardest mountain in the world with his holy feet, a mountain that would demand from him that he carry the burden of the law, the burden of God's wrath, the mountain that was the hardest to scale of all, Mount Calvary. But with those holy feet, he scaled that mountain and then gave his feet to the crucifiers, that our feet may be redeemed, that our feet may continue to go forward in the name of the Lord. Dear friends of Christ, this evening, keep your feet moving. In Jesus' name, amen. We invite you to arise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds forever in him whose feet took the nails for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.